Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. Please turn your attention to the screen for this week's announcements.
Oh, hi. Calling all bakers. It's that time again where we need cookies for Bread Campus Ministry. We need lots of cookies, so bake at least 3 dozen. No nuts, please.
For a night of fellowship, food, fun, and fire under the stars. Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m., we'll gather around a bonfire to roast hot dogs and marshmallows, play some games, and relax. Bring your own chair and a side dish to share. In the event of rain, we'll postpone and inform everyone via email.
Join us on Good Friday at 7 p.m. for an evening of worship, Scripture and communion to reflect on the sacrifice Jesus for each one of us.
Hi ladies, you are all invited to come to Volcano Hibachi Grill on Town Lake Parkway for some fun fellowship
on Easter Sunday, March 31st at Real Life Christian Church as we celebrate the very source of our belief in a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We will begin Easter Sunday with a sunrise service at 7 a.m. followed by breakfast. We will have our normal services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock with Connect groups at 9:45. Nursery, pre-K, and 252 kids will be at 11. The Vine will be canceled that day. Come prepared to give your full attention to Jesus because He and He alone deserves our worship.
As always, wonderful to see everybody here this morning. If you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, we come to you today as imperfect people, but you're.
yesterday, we thought it would be fun to go fishing with our grandchildren, and we went up to Big Canoe fishing. And if you've ever been fishing with a three-year-old and a seven-year-old, it's more like extreme sports. You know, you're just lucky to come out of there without a hook stuck in your ear. But it was good. I'm sunburnt and full of allergies, but I'm happy to be here. You know, I'm excited to be back again this week as we continue our movement towards Easter. And this series we started last Sunday called, it was his love for humanity that held him there. It's that love of Jesus for us, for you and me, that led him sacrifice his life for us, to take the punishment that we deserve of our sins upon himself. And Jesus gave up his life very simply so that we might have eternal life. And I think that's where we need to focus on. And as we learned last week, it was fueled by unconditional and sacrificial love and forgiveness. Yeah, right now. And as you've heard it said often, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You've heard that, right? How many of you really believe it? I mean, it's hard to believe. It's hard to live out. Because we all like to receive, but it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever had that Bible that's just the one that, the Bible that you just love, that you've poured your heart and soul in? It's all beat up like mine, and I don't know how much longer it's going to hold together. Full of highlighted marks, and went to every time the door was open, she was always there. So this Bible she had poured into for many years. She had shed a lot of tears, and I think about those tears into that Bible, and a lot of them were because of me. And as I think about that, she had gotten this Bible, and we were at church at East End Christian Church, the first church we had served at, and this woman came in, and she didn't have a Bible. And Leslie had been felt convicted to give her Bible. And she had to think about it for a long time. And she thought about it, and she thought it has moments of sadness about that Bible, about letting it go. And, you know, I've bought countless Bibles trying to replace that one over the last years. Countless, and they're just not the same. It's the same words, but it's not. I've got a new Bible that I just can't bring it up here. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And sometimes I pick it up and it sits beside the bed and I read out of it sometimes at night, but I just can't. This is something to her. But she gave it away because someone needed it. And there's something beautiful about giving something away that is priceless. Isn't there? In 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is talking about generosity and giving when he says, you know, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This gift he's talking about is Jesus. You knew that, didn't you? Messed up. And Jesus left paradise to come here. You know, I hear people say all the time, it's just getting worse all the time. Well, it's not really getting worse. If you look back at history, it was really bad anyway. Especially back in the Roman time. You know, that's when we think that ultimate fighting is bad. Just imagine the gladiators. Brutal. So it's nothing new. And it was, he chose to come out of heaven, was and is the humble king who serves a world in desperate need. So I want to look together at a specific passage of Scripture to help us understand how Jesus displayed his passion for humanity while both on earth and on the cross. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians 2, but most people don't carry a Bible anymore. They have an app. Or you can use your app, or you can read on screen like most people do today too. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, where he says, in your relationships with another, have the same mindset as Christ, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that's a powerful scripture, and we read it often. We often read it, and you notice that Paul calls us to have the same mindset as Christ. What do you want me to do? But only if it aligns with my own priority list, schedule, and comfort zone. Does that sound familiar? I'll do it, but I have to want to do it first. Yeah, God, I'll do it, but you have to do it on my timing. We have to do it the way I want to do it. Have to do what I want to do. And Paul, more than many, came to understand that those who are used by God for great things are often outside of their comfort zones. I don't think Paul was real comfortable when he was in prison or being beaten, do you? What scares me the most is that God knows what I'm thinking. And I'm glad I don't know what you're thinking, because I don't want to know. It'd scare me to death. But I think about that often. God knows what I'm thinking. You know, I struggle with that because my thoughts are not always the best, especially when I'm driving. Yeah. You know, when it's just me and the steering wheel and my thoughts, it just happens. I'm not going to tell you I don't have those problems. So to combat that, I turn on Christian music in the car. Or if I'm in the shower, I listen to, it's one of those days where I'm struggling already, somebody's made me mad, it happens occasionally. And I know I'm going to be in the shower, and I turn on a sermon or something from somebody else, and I listen to that while I'm in there. And it keeps me from walking out of the shower mad. You know. But you got to think like Jesus thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. Well, I need to change my mind. And George Bernard Shaw said this. He said, those who can't change their minds can't change anything. That's so true, isn't it? If you can't change your mind, you can't change anything. And if you're going to think like Christ and have the mindset of Christ, I imagine there's a lot of us here today that need some drastic mental reform. We need to think about that. We need to change the way we think. And I'm thankful that the Bible has some very specific instructions and encouragement about the mind and the thoughts that we have in these heads. One of the most, but that's not always that easy. It's so often our thoughts wander off into deep, dark territory, and we get ourselves stuck somewhere, recycling these thoughts over and over again, and even begin to believe things that simply aren't true. We begin to believe it. And I'm sure there are many here today who would say they struggle, just like I do. But there's an antidote. Paul says it's to focus on the true stuff, the noble things, the praiseworthy. Not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the patterns of the world. They're not going to give you the mindset of Christ. Do you know that? And that means some of us need to turn off the news channels. Some of us need to turn off the shows that we watch. The Friends, the toilet paper like it's COVID again. Water and toilet paper, you got to have it all. Apparently, when the sun goes dark for a few minutes, nobody can get toilet paper for 6 years. But they listen to this stuff. It's the stuff they put in. they create this, and if we're not careful, we'll get into that same mindset. You know, instead, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the scriptures instead of what some lunatic says. We should, through the power of the Spirit, put the cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And I'm so thankful he had that mindset, aren't you? An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's where we should be when we're struggling. Not sitting in front of the TV pouring in conspiracy theories. We should be pouring into the scripture and praying to the point that we're in anguish because we want to be right with the Father. The world has its agenda, and it's not God's agenda. And even some of the preachers that you listen to don't have God's agenda. Just because they say they're preaching the word doesn't mean they are. You've got to be careful what you put in there. And you've got to turn to the scripture. Just like you said, you've got to humble yourself. He humbled himself and gave himself to the will of God, which led to the cross. Which meant that it's an act to tell you that Jesus was God. You know that, right? Yet he didn't consider that something he was going to use to his advantage. He was humble enough not to use his position to his advantage. He acted in humility in the most unbelievable way. He did not count his godly nature as something to take advantage of or hide behind. Instead, he willingly chose to make himself nothing by trading his godly nature for that of a servant. He acted in humility and became human. Dr. Powell and his wife Kay, and they always came in and sat at the back left corner of the sanctuary. Now, this building was built in 1866, about this far from the road. So they could park right there in the handicapped spot, and he could barely walk, and he would come up the steps and shuffle his way over and sit down in that first two seats. And he sat there every Sunday. Well, I hadn't been there very long at the time, but we had a youth group of about 20 teenagers, and they all sat together at different places in the church. And one Sunday I looked up, and they were sitting right where Dr. Powell sits. And I saw him coming through the door, and I thought, oh, I got to get back there. Sit down. Well, that Monday came, and I said, I've got to go learn more about Dr. Powell. So I went to their house, and I was expecting, a doctor's house. He was one of the more wealthy guys in town. He did not live in the country club. He lived in a little house in town. And I had to come to find out why. Throughout his career, he had taken 1 month out of the year, and he had bought supplies and a tent, and he would go into the jungles of South America and give medical care to this one tribe. 1 month of his whole career. Life in the country club. Who's almost broke. Now, he had a nice home, but it wasn't what you expected. All because he was willing to serve others above himself. Now, why would I tell you that? Because stories of great humility almost always cause us to step back and offer our admiration to those who are involved. Don't you admire people who do that? And obviously the example of Jesus, who gave his very life for those he loved, stands as the gold standard of humility and sacrifices. Oh, 48 million, that's awful. You know, there's some sacrifice there, and we see all the dollar signs, but we don't see the true sacrifice of it. It's become almost unbelievable to us that people would take time out of their busy lives to serve and love others, which is probably why Jesus told us to act in humility, serve and love one another, to give all the glory to God in the process and not take it for your own. You see, I didn't hear that story till I went and asked him about his life with Dr. Powell. He didn't walk around telling everybody what he did unless me folks. More worried about everybody else than you are number one. Humility is so powerful because being selfish is our normal operating procedure, isn't it? If you haven't had a toddler, you don't understand this. Toddlers demonstrate the opposite of humility. Mine. And Jesus taught us to break the norm and be radical and love others. And it starts with how you think. And it grows into selfless acts of service for others. And it continues in faith. But one of the most important steps we can take as it relates to mirroring Christ's humility is obedience. It's one thing to act humble, pretend to be humble around others, but it's another way to obey humbly before God. Paul says that when Jesus appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And frequently, obedience may cause something while birthing something beautiful. Are you king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. You have said so, Jesus replied. I love his reply. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of? But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was their custom at the festival to release a prisoner from the prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in the prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. And the crowd came to the crowd to have Pilate released Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you're calling the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him. You hear it? Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they all shouted louder, crucify him. Can you hear them? And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged then. How many of us are guilty of that? Because we want to please our friends, we're going to do it anyway. Because we want to make sure that our coworkers don't think bad of us, we just do it anyway. And yet, he just lets him die. And this is what obedience to the Father looked like for Jesus. What do you have to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice what the crowd wants? What for us looks like day by day, it looks like bowing before Christ every day on our knees and inviting him into our story and thanking him for his sacrificial love. And that sacrifice is what obedience cost Christ, his very life. But what did Jesus' obedience birth? What came out of it? The Bible makes it clear that Jesus did not stay dead, did he? Instead, all of the pain and suffering in the life of Christ served a purpose just as it does in ours. Do you believe that God can use the hard times in your life for good? Do you believe it? I mean, we love this scripture. We know that God is there with us. That he'll use the hard stuff to make us better. Or do we just sit around and complain and blame God? What are we doing with it? You see, all along, God was working in the life of Jesus, and the same is true for you and me. God is able to use every situation, every frustration, every obstacle, and every last thing for the good of those who love him. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. In this passage, Jesus invites his disciples and us to remain in his love and to keep his commandments. He invites us to be obedient. And then he offers a new commandment to love one another. Of humility this coming week. Where are the areas in your life that you need to think about others and put them first? and trade your life for theirs? How can you lift others up and encourage them and help them feel loved? What can you do to put yourself out of the way? The first thing you have to do is trust Jesus. The first thing you have to do is believe and trust in Him before you can be like Him. You have to choose Him. And we're going to offer the invitation here. And the invitation is for you to come forward, confess Him as Lord, be baptized into Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, decided that you want to be a follower of Jesus. But what are you going to do with that? Now that you've made this decision, are you just going to go on living your life every day like you really didn't make any difference? Are you going to keep doing what you always did? Are you going to choose to go with the crowd and fall into all the other conspiracy theories? Are you going to go with the world? Or are you going to follow Jesus? That's really the question, isn't it? Whether it's your first time here and you're just learning about this decision 30, 40, 50 years ago, doesn't mean that you're honoring that decision today. He says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to know who He is? There's a decision to be made right now for all of us in this room. Are we going to follow Jesus or not? Was His passion that held Him on that cross enough? Was that act of to come forward. If you just need to come up here and pray about it, whatever it is on your heart, don't hold it in, because it won't go away till you give it to Jesus. So whatever decision you got to make, make it as we stand and sing.
My heart, it's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Things I want to hit on, and one of them is the 30 pieces of silver offered to Real. Another thing is the diapers for the dyers out there. Don't forget to give and let them. That baby's coming soon. We are ready. She's ready. I know that. And if you are visiting with us, stop out there and see Leslie on your way out. She's got a gift for you, and get a little information so that you can get in touch with me. It's more about you being able to get in touch with me or the church than it is us getting in touch with you. Now, another thing the ladies are going on the 30th to the volcano to eat sushi and hibachi dip. And matter of fact, on the 23rd, we're having a bonfire. 22nd? The 22nd, excuse me. The 22nd. See, I mess up. But on the 22nd, we're going to have the bonfire down here at the fire pit, and there'll be hot dogs. The church is going to provide hot dogs and marshmallows, and you all just bring a side dish and come and hang out. I mean, who doesn't like a hot dog roasted over a fire, right? So come out here and hang out, and just, it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, I don't think I've got anything else other than let's go be the church. Jesus didn't die for us to come in here and sing Kumbaya. So let's do that. All right, I'll be up here for a few minutes if you need me afterwards. And Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you so much for the message today. Thank you for this time of fellowship and worship that we can come in here and lift your name in praise. Thank you for the lives that you've given us, and be with us as we go out into the world and we live them for you. So just thank you for everything. In your name, Jesus, amen.